You're listening to Clifford Kelly on Straight Truth Radio, the podcast.
Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Straight Truth Radio Podcast, the place where the lip of truth endures forever. I'm your host, Cliff Kelly, here where we are just trying to bring an understanding to end time events. Thank you for tuning in this evening. We're going to jump right into this episode. Piercing the powers of darkness. Some weeks ago, you may remember that we did an episode where the episode was called Know Your Enemy. And so it was a whole series of thoughts that we wanted to continue as we went forward to talk about, and this is just a part of that series, Piercing the Darkness. And so let's kind of just jump right into this. All right, so first thing that we have to say is we want to remind you is that in the word of the Lord, Romans the 12th chapter and around the third verse, it tells us that for God has dealt to every man, every woman, boy, girl, man, woman, has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So if, you know, just imagine we are sitting here playing a card game and I'm the dealer. And those of you who are actually watching, you see what I'm doing. Those who just watch or listen to the podcast later on, you'll just have to imagine in your mind, but it shouldn't be hard to figure out. So I'm just dealing, you know, a deck of cards out to every man, woman, boy, and girl, right? So to Romans 12:3, he's dealt to every man a measure of faith. Now, it is incumbent upon that individual to work that thing out, to work it out. So we all have the potential to you know, sky's the limit to what it is that we can do in God or in our faith, you know, the things that we have been purposed to do. We all have the potential to maximize and be all that God has designed us to be in the world. However, it takes working that thing out. So you'll hear me say a lot of times that I say it in a fashion of comedy, but I'm serious when I say it. A lot of times we spend too much time in the rec rooms of life, too much time in the gym, too much time at recreation. But if we are not in the libraries of God, in the library, the classroom, the study hall, the areas where we actually have to dive in, just like in a regular classroom, if you were at school, college, high school, whatever you put your mind memory to and can reflect on, where you are actually studying the word of God, and not only just the study, but making the daily application to that life and building up that spirit, man. Then keep in mind, the word of God also says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So if you are not in the classrooms of God, the study hall, the library of God, of his word, then you cannot exercise and master the uh, 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 possess the power that it takes to defeat the realm of darkness, which is, and the Bible tells us, we're going to get right into the works of Satan. So it is our aim to continue to help every man, woman, boy, and girl that listens or watches the podcast, to listen to the podcast, to help you develop the faith, in your faith in that spirit man. Because watch this again, we repeat, that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. He's dealt to every, but what you do with it, then what you do with it is totally up to you. And so there are so many people who not only are they deceived, but they're defeated in life because, you know, I got this going on or I got that going on and I can't seem to accomplish this, or why can't I do that, or why can't I achieve it? Every time I take a step, then something knocks me back, or this is happening, that is happening. Well, are you maximizing what God has placed in your hand to develop? There's a parable about the sower. The talents. He gave one person one talent. He gave another person two talents. He gave another five talents. And then this investor went on his way, but he came back again later to see what these three individuals did with what he invested in them. The five he saw, he flipped it, worked it, and he was blessed with 10. The one who had two flipped it, worked it out, and he was blessed with four. But the one who had one talent, and here's the joke, you had one job. You only had one job, and that is to work out what this investor invested in you. And when the investor spoke to him about his talent, he said, "I buried it because I was afraid, and I knew you were a shrewd man." And then that investor sent him to torments. Torments. And then that talent that was buried, he gave it to the one who had two. So it's no one's fault if we don't develop what God has given us but our own if we don't do something with it. But we do have an opposition. Everything is not our fault. We're faced with opposition. But even with the opposition, we are given strength. We're given help in a time of need to work these things out. So when we're talking about piercing the powers of darkness, so we talk about this. Remember, okay, so let's go to the Word of God. In Genesis, the first chapter, right? Watch this. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light, it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and called the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, we continue in that, go down to verse 18, and he says, so here's the rules of what God set up in reference to light and darkness. And we're talking about the natural thing, and then we'll move right into the spiritual aspect of it. Verse 18. And so the light had its assignment, the night had its assignment. Verse 18, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Now, again, we're talking about the power of Satan and piercing the powers of darkness. Now, when the scripture talks about this, it's both the state and works of man. Darkness is very real in scripture. Darkness refers to the world of the natural man who does not know Jesus Christ. You can examine John chapter 8, verse 12. The natural man walks in ignorance. Now watch. I know there were those who would have a problem when I would say certain things and then I would be charged for, you know, being, you know, that's being judgmental, and that's, you're judging. Well, first of all, the Bible says that the spiritual man judgeth all things. He judgeth all things. But now the natural man wants to walk in darkness because they discount or do not like light. So the natural man walks in ignorance. He walks in the ignorance of Jesus Christ. He walks in the ignorance of God as revealed by Jesus Christ. He walks in ignorance of the real purpose and destiny of life as shown by Jesus Christ. The natural man stumbles and gropes about in the world. He knows nothing other than the things of the world as he sees them. He or she only hope, their only hope is the hope of living a long life before death overtakes them. They walk in darkness and ignorance of real life now and hereafter. You can refer to John, the 12th chapter, verses 35, the book of John, chapter 12, verses 35 and 46. Now, darkness, what does darkness symbolize? Darkness symbolizes unpreparedness and unwatchfulness. It symbolizes the lack of wisdom. Okay? It symbolizes the time when evil occurs. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 4 through 8. Darkness is loved by men, sinful men, to do their evil deeds under the cover of darkness. Men therefore hate the light because light uncovers their evil and their evil behavior. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Darkness is hostile to light. Darkness is hostile to light. That's John chapter 1, verse 5. So when we're talking about how do we overcome or how are we going to pierce, how do you pierce darkness, the power of Satan? There are three elements that is necessary in order to overcome darkness. We'll talk about power, talk about light, and talk about truth. All right? So number one, power. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God. The powers that be are ordained by God. So the people who walk and do what they do, the authority that they have, if they should not understand, but you need to understand also that every man, everything that you do, you wouldn't be able to do it had it not been for that higher power, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we are supposed to be subject to, following the natural order of things, as we're supposed to be subject to the higher authorities, the governmental authorities, even the governmental authorities need to understand. And be subject to the higher power. The power that they have is only God-given. I'll sidetrack and say this. Have you noticed that in our government, they have moved away from God? In fact, there are those who are highly in favor of a separation from church and state, but it's not even constitutional. It's not in the Constitution. That is something that was written in a letter, and I think Jefferson has something to do with that. And really what was being explained in that whole thought process is that the government should not rule over the church, but the government should be separate from the church. But now the church has the obligation to always do that which is right, even in government. To go back and examine that. But we want a society where you don't mention God at all. And haven't you noticed? I remember when I was in school, we used to pray before, say, Pledge of Allegiance, a quick prayer, and then went on with the schoolwork. I remember moving from kindergarten until the first grade. From kindergarten, we were praying. Then all of a sudden, first, second grade, we stopped. And I knew as a child that something changed. Something was different. Teachers was like, oh, well, we can't pray anymore. And they were kids. I vividly remember this. There were kids who were upset because they couldn't pray. They could not pray. But look what happened. And you hear preachers say this all the time. When we kick God out the schools, then what moved in? Satan moved in with his drugs, with his alcohol, with sex. We're over-sexualizing these kids in school. And when God moved, when God was, God didn't move. When God was forced out, then Satan moved in with his bag of tricks. And so now look at this society. Even there are sometimes when, do you remember the political convention, Democratic convention during the COVID era, and I'm going to jump back into this, but during the COVID era when the convention was online, it was done online, and they did the Pledge of Allegiance online. Pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I said, I nudged my wife. I said, wait a minute, did I miss something? We both were trying to click the DVR back. So wait, did we miss something? Are they purposely nudging God out of government? But then again, I also told you episodes ago, long time ago, when we talked about that episode, One Mountain Left, I told you that there was going to be a struggle and a fight and a battle for government. All the mountains of influence have already been conquered. Those seven mountains, what is it? Family, education, entertainment, I'm drawing a blank because I'm trying to do it from memory. But there's seven mountains. But the last one that had not been conquered yet was government. And I told you that this is going to be a push for that battle for government. Now, I also made mention by saying this. I said that, see, what we see happen here. You know, I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. We're dealing with one another. You know, we talk. I say something to you. You take it wrong. You say something back at me. And, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, we're fighting, or you plotting against me. I'm plotting against you. And what I often say is that you have to stand back and take a bird's eye view spiritually. Not naturally, a bird's eye view spiritually, and see what is causing this confusion and this disorder. And the answer is the prince of the air, Satan, who is the scripture calls him the god of this world, the god of this world, not the world period, but the god of this world. the one who causes us to not walk contrary, not walk according to the fruits of the Spirit, but contrary to those fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5. You can read that in Galatians 5. But when we're talking about conquering and piercing the powers of darkness, number one, we're talking about power. I preached a message, one of my hallmark messages was, there is power in a holy church. There's power, and guess what? There's still power in a holy church. Does not the scripture say that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind? And so when we're walking and with a sound mind, then we possess the power of Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and no thing shall by any means hurt you. Now, again, God gives us the power. That power is given when we've repented, baptized, received the Holy Ghost. That power is given. Now it's up to the individual to maximize and work that thing, work that power, work it. Develop a discernment so then that you see what is happening. You know, I don't easily trip out when somebody says something or does something to me, and then all of a sudden I'm attacking them. I said, no, this is the enemy. I see right through this. I'm not even going to argue with you. I'm going to start praying. I'm praying now, binding that devil that's sowing evil thoughts and mess in you. That would have us both going crazy if I didn't have the discernment to pick it up. But that's part of the power of the Holy Ghost. Having discernment. Second Samuel chapter 22, verse 33. God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. You see that? When we are walking in the power of the Lord, when we release God to do his God things, just release God to be God. It's one thing to celebrate him, to love on him. But then we got to release him too. We got to release God. See, here's the funny thing about this life, this saved life. We don't have a problem with God being our Savior. We absolutely have no problem with God being Savior. But a lot of times we have a problem with God being Lord. Because when you're Lord, that means you're the boss of it all. When you are really going to operate and let God be God, see, you got to let God be God in telling you where to go and how to go and who to go with. Guess what? We even need to take God back to the fashion store with us. What can I, you know, what, you know, this vessel that is dressed up and walking, I'm not teaching legalism. I'm not on legalism. I'm not talking about women shouldn't be in pants or nothing. That's not what I'm saying. But when people see you, do they see a saint? Do they see someone that is full of power? But guess what? You can look the part and still not have it. So, That doesn't mean, well, I ain't worried about clothes again as long as I got the power. No, it still work hand in hand. Because the first thing, when I look at you, I look at you and I'm looking to see what is, I see a presence or something on you. And so, yeah, there is a look. There is a look. But then guess what? When you're allowing the power to really flow through you or emanate through you, then there's also a presence. So you may have a look, but do you also have the presence? Is there presence when you step in the room? When people look at you, do they see the presence of God? Or do they just see, that's just you? You know, that's whoever, whatever your name is, Frank, Toby, Tito, whatever your name is. Or do they actually see, that is, no, that's a real man, that's a real woman of God. So, power. But not only that, light. The second element is light. And so, this is what John said. This is what John records from Jesus, right? He says in chapter 12, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. So Jesus, he's the light of the world. And if we are in him, if you're truly in him, then there should be no ray of darkness, no shadow of darkness, rather, in you. So then, why are saints lying, fornicating, any other sin? Every sin that's recorded in the book, I don't need to, you know, do roll call. You can find it in the book. If you're reading the book, you know it's there. If we are in him, because if we watch this, First John says that if we are in Christ, we sinneth not. If we are in him, we sinneth not. You can't sin if you're in God. Because he is light, and he is the light of the world. John chapter, staying right there, John chapter 9, verse 5. At Jesus, watch this, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, this is not just to say that, well, Jesus is not here now. You know, so what is that supposed to mean? No, Jesus, he is here. If you have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, then he is still here. He operates. As a matter of fact, watch this. And I read this before, and I won't turn to it now. But let me have you, just for a point, just for a reference point, go back to Psalms 82. I've talked about it before. He said, the Lord standeth in the congregation. He standeth in the congregation of the mighty. And then he's listing, when you finish, you go through Psalms 82, he starts giving a roll call of what it is that he's seeing. You see, he asks, how long will you judge unjustly? How long will you judge unjustly? So watch this. So that's not even God saying, don't judge. He said, no. He's saying, how long will you judge unjustly? Jesus even said in this word, he didn't say, judge not, don't judge. He said, judge not lest you be judged. For with the same measure, it'll be met back to you. So if you do a roll call on every sinner and every sin that's known to man that you can think of, but yet this stuff operating in you, don't worry, it's going to come back on you. It's going to come back. And guess what? Righteously so. What's the saying? Fair exchange is no robbery. So if you are doing what you preach against, you're supposed to get you're supposed to have judgment coming to you. You're supposed to. But now, if you walking upright before the Lord, if you're holy, if you're living right, you keeping your flesh under subjection, you checking yourself, then guess what? God expects you, he expects you to bring judgment and justice in this world that he's given us. So, continuing with light, Matthew 4:16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Again, we're talking about how light. First of all, Jesus is that light. Jesus is the light. And you and us walking in that light. And when we walk in that light, we represent the light of Christ. And when light is in the room, then you, brother, sister, you are piercing the darkness of Satan. Again, are you walking in the power? Luke 10:19, he gave you the power over serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And then, if Jesus Christ is in you, then guess what? If you are walking in Christ, and I have to keep saying this, you cannot sin. When people keep using that phrase, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. No, you are not. Yes, you were a sinner. Yes, you were. Now, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Sure, we can bring, when we slip and mess up, be quick to repent and get the thing right. Because God has promised to cleanse us. He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And Romans chapter 8, he said, for the earnest expectation of the creature awaiteth the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is out of course because they don't see the sons of God operating in his true fashion. And how God has purpose and organized and desired for us to walk in. We got to move on. Psalms 119:130. The entrance of thy words gives light, and it gives understanding unto the simple. See, this is not a hard thing to figure out. It's not a hard thing to digest. He's the entrance of thy of God's word. It gives light. It gives understanding. It opens the heart of your understanding. Paul even prayed that in Ephesians. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you would understand what was the hope of his calling to you. What in the world was God thinking of when he created me? What did he create and purpose for me to be and to do? And so that is something that we got to dive in and get in this word. We have to, you know, put away all the rec centers and recesses of life and get back into the study hall and the library of the gospel, so then that we can represent Christ the way he wants to be represented in this time. in this time. And we want to talk about this last element, the last element, which is truth. Just a couple of verses that I wanted to drop. So, truth. Jesus said, John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is no way you come to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And then the Bible also tells him that you can't come to him except he invites you. So truth. Watch this. Psalms 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. So the word of the Lord is pure. God is pure. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true. So watch. Word is spirit. What did John also say? That God is a spirit. So word is spirit. God is a spirit. John, the first chapter says that the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. So then that the spirit became flesh, the word, which is spirit, became flesh, word, God, spirit, it became flesh. And then he's also said that he was going away. And when he went away, that the Holy Ghost would come in his name. And so we it when you receive him, you receive his spirit, and his spirit quickens us to know what is right and what is wrong, and he gives us the power to do it. And guess what? He is pure. He is true. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I get tired. I hate when people say this the wrong way. They'll say, well, you know, the truth will set you free. Truth makes you free. Truth will make you free when there's nothing there to set you free. If I'm locked in a room and I'm trying to get out, or I'm locked up and I'm trying to get out, I'm in a cell and I'm trying to get out and I can't get out, the only way I can get out is if someone comes with the key to unlock that cell and allow me and release me. Well, I remember in the book of Acts a story when they were praying for Peter, because Peter was going to be executed. He was going to be crucified. They prayed for him. And Peter was released, but there was no one there to set Peter free. The angel of the Lord came and made a way for Peter's freedom. When truth goes forth, it will make you free when there's no one there to set you free. And then watch this. Let me finish that story since I brought it up. They prayed for Peter. Peter went to the house where they were. He knocked on the door. He knocked on the door, and the Bible said the damsel came to the door and said, who is it? It's me, Peter. She got so excited, she just left. She ran and told them, hey, Peter's at the door. Instead, why don't you just unlock the door and let him in? She got so excited, she ran and told him Peter was at the door. He said, and while they was praying, she ran in there to tell him, hey, Peter is at the door. They're praying for Peter's release. And Peter is at the door. And they asked, he said, girl, you drunk. You something wrong with you. And she went back to unlock the door to let Peter in, which she could have did in the first place. The point is that truth will make you free. That's why I tell folk, people get excited about, and they lied on me, and they said this, they said, I said, quit getting, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If what they saying is truly a lie, then just go ahead. Just live on. I have a motto that I've always lived by, and it has never, ever, ever fit. It took longer sometimes to come to pass than I wanted, but it has never failed. And that is this. You can always outlive a lie. Just do what's right. Be true. When I say stay strong, stay true, that's what I mean. Stay strong in his word and in the power of his might. And stay true. Stay with Christ. Stay with the gospel. And when you live right and do right and walking in truth, when folk lying on you, it'll die out. You can always outlive a lie if you are really in the truth. And so I think I'm gonna wrap up right there. I think that's enough. I still got a lot more on the table. Maybe I'll pick this up next week and we'll conclude piercing. There's another side of this that I want to kind of get in and talk about, piercing the powers of darkness. I just want to thank you again for tuning in to the Straight Truth Radio podcast. Again, this is the place where the lip of truth endures forever, here where we're trying to bring understanding to end time events. And I'm your host, Cliff Kelly. We come here every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I have to emphasize Eastern Standard Time. We are heard all over the world, and we thank you so much for your listenership. Remember to hold on to him that is able to keep you from failing and from falling. Remember, we are not sinless, but we sin less because of him. Because of him who became sin for us. Remember, this is Straight Truth Radio Podcast. We love you. And until we see you again, stay strong, stay true. God bless you all. We'll see you next week.